I want to thank Belkıs Bilek for joining us from Istanbul, Turkey, Yemen and Kuwait researcher at Human Rights Watch, speaking to us from Istanbul. That does it for today's show. If you'd like a copy, if you'd like to hear or watch the podcast or read the transcripts of today's or any show, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Ravi Karan, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Anna Ozbeck, Mike DeFilippo, and Miguel Nogueira are our engineers. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Hugh Gran, David Prude, Vesta Godarz, and our camera crew, John Randolph, Karen Krug-Meadows, and Jose Miranda. Our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with our host, Joe Uris. Today's guests are Floyd Jones and Jeff Boley of Friends of the Reservoirs, who are fighting plans to demolish the 100-year-old Washington Park Reservoirs.
Join us for the KBOO Community Radio Monthly Film Night at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, we'll be showing the documentary film, Symphony of the Soil, on Thursday, May 14th at 7 p.m.
We don't grow plants, we grow soil, and soil grows plants.
The soil returns to what it was like when it was first broken out.
So alive and so vital.
Again, that's Symphony of the Soil at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Gene Ritchie played a huge role in the folk revival in the 1960s, also known as the Great Folk Scare. She influenced many of the performers of folk and roots music who are active today. Some of these musicians came together to record a 2-CD set, Dear Gene, a tribute to Gene Ritchie. I will be featuring selections from Dear Gene, as well as playing selections from her own album. There will be available a very limited number of the Dear Gene CD sets as thank you gifts for your membership contribution. Tune in to Moving On, Friday, May 8th, 12 noon to 1:30, to hear music from one of the most important musicians playing traditional music.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of We the People Standing Together to Protect Our Climate, Lessons from the Community Rights Movement. Thursday, May 14th at 7 p.m. at the Elliott Chapel in the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Paul Cienfuegos is presenting this original speech and will lead a community conversation about the community rights movement and how civic engagement can lead to reclaiming the structures of law. Again, that's Paul Cienfuegos with We the People Standing Together to Protect Our Climate, Thursday, May 14th at 7 p.m. at the Elliott Chapel at the First Unitarian Church, 1011 Southwest 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Multnomah County. With marriage equality, same-sex couples have new issues to consider, and you may qualify for additional Social Security and Medicare benefits. You can learn about your rights and how to avoid scams at the May 9th workshop, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Friendly House. Registration at eventbrite.com by typing LGBT Portland or at 503-224-2640.
All day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water, cool water. Hold down and burn dry and souls that cry for water.
And then don't you listen to him, then he's the devil, not a man, and he spreads a burning sand with water. Then can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you?
The nights are cool and I'm a fool, each star's a pool of water.
Water.
But with the dawn I'll wake and yawn and carry on to water.
Cool, clear,
water.
Keep open, then don't you listen to him, then he's a devil, not a man, and he spreads the burning sand with water. Then can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and is waiting there for me and you?
The shadows sway and seem to say, tonight we'll pray for water.
Cool water.
And yes, it's our water theme. And we're going to do a show about the water thing. It just doesn't go away and keeps getting worse and more scary and more, as far as I'm concerned, disgusting. Briefly, the Water Bureau, if you followed its history, has wanted to use the rationalizations of the government, the federal government, to change our water system. Remember, we have the probably nationally best and cleanest and clearest and least messed with water in the United States. It's really quite a resource. But the government of the United States in general has tried to bury all the water supplies. And cities like Syracuse and New York City and Portland have had open reservoirs forever. There is no evidence, by the way, that these reservoirs have been polluted or poisoned any more than normal water supplies. And in fact, there are, and I want to be very clear about this, there are ways that are very cheap of blasting water, if necessary, with energy sources that clean that water, that destroy bacteria, at a very relatively cheap price. This is the baseline of what we want to talk about today, and it's really important. And I want to remind you, of course, that you're listening to KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. I'm Joe Uris. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Abe is not here. I am. And I have two guests, one by phone, who you've heard her before, but she's very active and she's very aware. Floyd Jones. Floyd, are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Joe, for having us.
Okay. You hang on. And our other very special guest is Jeff Boley, former president of the Arlington Heights Neighborhood Association. Now, Jeff is one of those guys who can't keep his hands out of the public activity. He was he's president of the Portland Civic Theater, a board member of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, very active in the theater community, and very knowledgeable about this water issue. I don't know what our audience understands, but here's the deal so far. We have a brand new, gigantic, very expensive, very messy underground water supply recently built in at Powell Butte, which is leaking about a swimming pool's worth, they think, a day. Now, this is modern technology, folks, and it's leaking. This is the Water Bureau at its best. I wanted to mention that because this same bureau, with the same attitude of burying the water supplies, is wanting to destroy the historically significant and beautiful parks at Mount Tabor and at Washington Park. They want to bury the water supplies, and at Washington Park, they want to dig up the hillside, a relatively unstable hillside, I might add, and they want to put a big tank in there, and then I guess they want to put a reflecting pool on top of that. Now, given their past history, the water bureaus, we wonder, we just can't help but wonder what they're going to build and whether or not it'll leak and whether or not the hillside, which is, I'd say, relatively unstable, can take such a change. It's going to be a five-year project. It's going to tear up the neighborhood. It's going to be a big mess, and it's going to be very expensive. And that perhaps is the most important thing for you out there who are taxpayers. I want to repeat the words, very expensive. Now, if it were necessary, if our water supply were polluted, if people were dumping LSD, remember that famous mythology, if there were terrible things happening with the water supply, we'd say, oh, this is expensive, but we need to do it. But there's nothing like that going on. Let's be very clear. We have the cleanest, purest, most natural water supply of any city that I know of in the United States. Now, I grew up in Southern California. And let me tell you, you want to talk about bad-tasting, over-treated water supply out of necessity, we experienced it there. The contrast between that city, Los Angeles, or San Diego, and this city is amazing. So we have this wonderful natural resource. But over the last few years, the Water Bureau has been trying like crazy to turn our system into something more chemically pure, I guess is the right word, more interfered with than it has been over the many, many years of the genius of its being built. Remember, our water supply is naturally flowing downhill to our reservoirs. It doesn't take any pumping. It doesn't take any high expenses. It has always been a very pure and clean system, even when some simple-minded person pees in it. Just to be clear, that's undetectable, though not nice. So, Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about what's planned for Washington Park and what you guys want to do about it? By the way, I want to be clear. Jeff is a founding member of the Friends of the Reservoir System on the west side.
Yeah, okay. Well, essentially what they want to do is take out the present reservoir.
Uh-huh.
And then in the place, in its footprint, dig a big, deep hole and put in a buried tank. And then on top of that buried tank, put what is supposed to be something of a replica of what the present reservoir structure looks like. Now, how close that will come to actually being in terms of accuracy is anybody's guess. They're saying it's going to take $80 million. I think our experience with public projects is that you can generally double whatever number they project. So
wait a minute, $80 million?
Yes.
To put in a tank?
Yes.
What's the tank? Do you know what it's going to be made of? The tank? Is it going to be poured concrete or steel or what?
I would guess it'd be the same technology that they used over on the east side to build the ones that are leaking.
Well, but we know that Powell Butte is leaking significantly.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, and it's brand new.
And when you talk about these costs, Joe, I mean, you need to really take a look at the costs of these projects in other places. I mean, they're exponentially more costly here. I'm not sure that the project will go over their budget, but at Powell Butte, they budgeted that project at $137 million. And they'd like to tell you, well, it's come in under budget. But in fact, the consultant's contract is 45% over its budget, and the construction contract is over its budget. They just overestimated the project cost in the beginning so that they could then say, oh, it's under budget. But when you compare, you know, what they're building up and what they're planning to do at Washington Park when they demolish, they're going to demolish both of those historic structures and the Weir Building. That's their plan, and they're fast-tracking it, as they always do. And so we're going to eliminate half the storage up there, half the storage, and replace it with just 15 million gallons after 4 years of going without any storage, 4 years, which they're going to demonstrate year after year. We don't need the storage. So we're going to go 4 full years, and then the cost of $80 million. Well, in Seattle, and I'm not supportive of what they did there either, because it was the same revolving door consultant from Portland who
went
up
there. Stop for a second, Floyd.
Yeah.
I want to make sure people understand this. The consultants who are key to all of this are people very closely attached to or involved in the water industry. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the consultant who actually helped to negotiate this regulation is from Portland. The Portland Water Bureau hired him under a contract to help them craft this EPA regulation.
Well, he was a previous employee of the Portland Water Bureau.
Yes.
So what we really have here is a very cozy relationship between those who are paid externally to approve this system and to create the system and the Bureau itself.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And it's been going on for 20 years now. They were very discouraged when, after 2 years of our fighting, their unwillingness to meet with the community and talk about substantive issues. This was back in 2002.
Uh-huh.
We finally got a reservoir panel. The Salzman agreed to put together a panel. It excluded all of us. No neighborhood associations, no neighborhood coalitions, Friends of the Reservoir were excluded. But we worked very hard and put together a very thick book for the panel on opening day and worked with panel members and were easily able to convince them that they're after 3 months, and they spent $500,000 on consultants to help the panel see their way. So, but we were still able to convince them, rightly so, that there was no reason to cover or treat or in any way eliminate our open reservoirs. And the Water Bureau has been very resentful of that ever since. And so with this Washington Park plan, they've not informed anyone. There are very few people, a handful, that know what they're doing up there.
Floyd, there's one other aspect of this that I think is really significant.
This is Jeff Boley, folks. Go ahead.
That is that after the Water Bureau was beat in 2004, you know, by our side, what they did was go back to the federal government and get this LT2 rule passed, which is the bad science that they're relying on now to say that we have to cover the reservoirs in order to protect us from cryptosporidium. And the irony of this is that the key a consultant who really crafted LT2 is this individual from the Portland Water Bureau. So here we've got the Portland Water Bureau sending someone back to lead the charge in creating a federal regulation that forces the Portland Water Bureau to go to this incredible expense.
So just to summarize, what we are doing in Portland is taking a water system that has worked for a long, long time, that is very clean, that is very safe, and for reasons having to do, and this is what I want to get at, why is this happening? For reasons that are unclear, now wanting to bury that entire system at an enormous expense to the taxpayers and at no improvement, perhaps a degradation, of the quality of that water supply. And the politics of it is horrendous. And the city council, and I have to say this from my own observations, seems totally bemused, bewildered, and bewitched, I think.
Well, City Council has allowed the Water Bureau to do whatever they want to do. I just want to clarify a little bit on the comments Jeff made. The rule was well underway, but this consultant, Joe Glicker, was...
What's his name? I'm sorry.
Well, his name is Joe Glicker. He was a Water Bureau employee, and I could give you a long history on him, but I won't at this time. But he left the Bureau in 1994 and went to Montgomery Watson Harza Global, and then they gave him a string of contracts to study the open reservoirs. That contract went on for 9 years. Another contract to study Powell Butte. That contract went on for 9 years. And then concurrent with that, a contract to help craft this EPA regulation. And by the time we'd won the reservoir panel in 2004, a draft of the regulation was out for public comment. But it included an alternative that would have been okay for Portland, and that would have been it was called the risk mitigation plan. And, you know, it would require additional security, which we've paid for and implemented, you know, things like that. But because of the relationship of this consultant and the EPA lead, you know, who I met in Washington, D.C. in 2012, they inexplicably removed that alternative. New York has been fighting it. Now New Jersey's involved. But we are suffering greatly here in Portland because we have a city council that, you know, has just allowed the Water Bureau to continue on awarding these cozy consultant contracts and, come up with the most expensive way to address this federal regulation.
And I think I can speak to that.
Go ahead.
The way our council is set up, there are five commissioners. Each are given a portfolio of agencies that they supervise. And once a commissioner has decided to do something with one of his or her agencies, none of the other commissioners will contradict it. And the reason is that they've all found out that if they do that, then when they try to do something with one of their agencies, that they're going to get pushback from the others. So it's practically speaking, once a commissioner decides that he or she is going to do something with a particular agency, that's it. They are practically speaking, a rule unto themselves. I think with Commissioner Leonard at the Water Bureau, we saw a great example of just how far that could go. So that's the reality of it. Now, will we ever be able to change that? I'm quite fearful that the answer is no. And the reason is that it works so well for the key players that are sustaining it. You've got special interests who are making political contributions to the incumbents whose main objective in life is to get reelected. It doesn't cost that much to run a campaign for a commissioner's seat. So if you've got a special interest that is, you know, has a particular project, such as building water system infrastructure, it's, you know, all they have to do is make sufficient contributions to get the person who's the incumbent to, you know, be on their side, and relatively inexpensively, they've accomplished the ability to perpetuate multi-million dollar a contract.
So, and of course, it's the taxpayers who pay for that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a win for the politicians too, because it makes it very easy for them to fundraise. And so then the question comes, well, how would the system ever change? When we've tried to change it, all sorts of money comes in from the special interests to sustain the present system. And as we know, what is put out in the way of fear-mongering about the proposed changes is typically outrageous. But what are you going to do about it? Because they can so outspend everyone else. So that's what the history has been, and why I don't think it's going to change.
Okay, I think that's really important for folks to understand. This is an issue that has not been headlined in Portland. It's been underplayed, downplayed, and quietly done. Not a secret, but in effect, unpublicized. And I think it's very, very crucial to understand this is going to cost every one of you listening to this show and the rest of the citizens of the Portland area. This is going to cost you money for years to come. It's already costing you money. And from what I can discover of the science of water, it's not necessary. In fact, it may degrade the water supply.
Right. And to get a handle on just how much it's costing us, remember that our water rates are comparable to the water rates of cities in the deserts like Phoenix. Now, when you consider what we were bequeathed in the way of the Bull Run Reservoir and this entire system, and to think that our water rates are the same as communities in the desert, that in and of itself should say, wait a minute, how in the world did that happen? Well, I think if you go back over the history, you can see one boondoggle after another where you have this a commissioner system of politicians essentially doing what they want, and then outside private interests profiting from it.
Yeah, and I, you know, there's simple, small, but real examples like the Waterhouse, which was an incredible boondoggle.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, I have to say, Randy Leonard, very much of a bossy guy, I think it's fair to say, really did push through all of this stuff. The attitude, the presentation that I've heard is saying essentially the rest of us, we who are concerned about the cost of this, are all wrong. Despite the fact that we got science on our side, we've got logic on our side, and we got costs on our side. If you're not familiar with our water system, it's one of the most brilliant and fortunate situations in the world. Our water flows naturally from a higher point in a very clean system, Bull Run, and it flows down naturally into storage units naturally, which are then higher but still lower than Bull Run, and then it's given to you. The advantage of that is it doesn't have to be pumped, it doesn't have to be purified, it doesn't have to be most of the things that cost cities, like you mentioned, Phoenix or L.A. or San Diego.
Well, the other thing is Bull Run is a huge watershed, and it's the cleanest, most protected watershed in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we have as a just as a natural benefit that nobody else has got.
It's an incredible legacy.
It is.
And I think it's really important that it not be destroyed. And I have to say, I have no trust whatsoever in this or any other city council in my experience. Now, we've had better and worser city councils. But this one, nice, well-intentioned, whatever, people who just seem to be bewildered, bewitched, and bothered by the fact that it's a natural system that doesn't need to be messed with. And I've gotten really angry about this because I'm a ratepayer, and I'm facing this, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking about it. I want to hear from you, though, all of you out there, 231-8187. If you're concerned or if you disagree with us, give us your calls. We'll take them as we can. Floy is here. Jeff is here. I'm here. We want to hear from you. Again, the issue is the intention of the, right now, is the intention of the city of Portland to dig a big hole where the existing beautiful old reservoirs are in Washington Park and to stick in that some kind of less large but still giant water storage capacity, which will take 5 years in the development and building out. So, and we've already seen what they did at Powell Butte, where they built a big, big, big reservoir underground that's leaking a lot of water. And why? Well, because it's buried. I don't know how they're going to figure out what they're going to do about that. Maybe pour some rubber in there. Ooh. I don't know. I mean, really.
They have put a bonding agent on it, but it was an error in, you know, many people quietly in the industry have been talking about this. Mm-hmm. Since it was, you know, they first became aware, and they're very concerned that it was a design flaw. But it was definitely a flaw in construction. Apparently, they didn't use the correct bonding agent in the cement when they constructed it. And then now they had 3,200 cracks. And they,
wait a minute, 3,200 cracks?
3,200 cracks. Coin News did an investigation and secured public records and did a brief report. None of the other media have covered it at all, but 3,200 cracks. So now they've had to put, you know, this bonding agent and other fillers on top of it. But, you know, will that hold in the long run?
And what is the chemical impact of that as it's dissolved in the water?
Exactly. You know, and so now this plan to demolish, they're going to decide this issue on the 13th with no further public comment.
Wait a minute. Wait, stop, Floyd. Are you saying that this issue will be absolutely decided with all the costs involved on the 13th at City Council without any further public input?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. They are the deciders of all. And when we appeared before them a week or so ago, it was called a demolition review hearing. Mayor Hales repeatedly said, you can't talk about that. You can't talk about that. You can't. I mean, he had a whole list of things you could not talk about. It could only be about this very narrow demolition of historic structures. And, of course, we submitted volumes of documents to support our case, along with, you know, written and testimony.
You know, maybe it's time for some civil disobedience. I'm serious. I mean, this is so outrageous.
Well, it truly is. You cannot replace. These are,
yeah.
you know,
once they're down,
some of
they're
the
down.
City's
yeah.
most significant historic structures. They wouldn't be on the National Register if not for the Friends of the Reservoirs, but nonetheless, mm-hmm. they are acknowledged yeah. nationwide as significant historic structures. And as you may have read, one of the members of the Landmark Commission, which, you know, one of their members is actually working on this demolition project, so conflicts of interest. But
another conflict of interest.
Yes, another conflict of interest. And that's what the city does often, is they co-opt people. So then you won't argue against projects if you're making money on the project.
Well, I don't want to excite people and cause them to perhaps insult or hurt the feelings of or even break the law about testimony. But I find city council arrogant, unresponsive, and absolutely so uninterested in either the science or the rationality of how to proceed in all of this. It's very distressing to me.
Well, I think the only thing that they really do respond to is political action. So if there were a major a protest before the vote somewhere, like City Hall or wherever, that is the type of thing that may have a possibility of influencing them, because that's what they're concerned about, is getting reelected.
So if a few hundred people showed up in front of City Hall saying, don't destroy our water system, it might have an effect.
That's what I think is would have the...
But nobody knows.
Right.
We're probably the only people, we and COIN, I have to say COIN did a good investigative piece, but nobody's paying attention.
And that's by design.
It is absolutely by design, because, you know, they're just following the same tactics they followed 12 years ago. And, you know, people thought after we won in 2004 and after we got them on the National Register that this was over, you know, that we'd settled the issue. Because the rule does not require demolition of the reservoirs.
It also doesn't set a time limit on response
That's
to
right.
this.
That's right. This time limit was set by the Water Bureau. And in communities like New Jersey and in New York.
In Syracuse and in New York City, both.
Right, right.
And Rochester is very much like Portland. They have historic open reservoirs. They're older, built in 1876, set in city parks. They weren't involved in crafting this rule, but, you know, as they became aware of it, they said, this doesn't make any sense. And their community didn't support burying their reservoirs, so they looked for alternatives. And then when they saw Senator Schumer had convinced the EPA to include review of this rule under the Obama directive, you know, to review onerous regulations, they said, well, we're not going to proceed with these. We want to see this rule revised. And so they worked with their health department, and they got a 10-year deferral. They're not giving any corporations any money. They haven't had a revolving door consultant on retainer for 20 years.
As we have.
Yeah.
That's right.
But there's no reason whatsoever that we couldn't do exactly what they've done in New York.
And I also have to say there are ways to clean water of various organisms by the use of ultraviolet light.
Yeah.
Right, so, if there was a reason to do it, but there isn't. We've done the sampling here. EPA didn't do any national sampling of open and closed reservoirs where you do a comparison study. They didn't sample open reservoirs to say, well, gee, is there any cryptosporidium in there? They didn't do that. But here in Portland, we did that. The Water Bureau, again, has kept that very secret, but we've gotten the documents. They sampled as much of the open reservoirs as they did in order to get the variance for Bull Run. 7,000 liters, they found zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero cryptosporidium. And we're going to be spending how much?
Yes, the $80 million.
$80 million.
For only 15 million gallons of storage. They're eliminating half the storage up there. It's a historical landslide area. It's been stabilized because of work they've done in dewatering, but it was made clear at this Landmark Commission meeting that if they start digging, they're going to have problems with the landslide. We've gone to the geologist at PSU. He said the same. Washington Park will be fine as long as you don't dig.
Yeah.
So, look, this is pretty obvious. I guess we need to go to our phones, 231-8187. Who do we got? Who? Jack, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, maybe it's time to take the gloves off and start a class action lawsuit to remove these corrupt bureaucrats. They're like apparatchiks. You know, we didn't fight the Cold War to end up with a bunch of communists telling us what to do. You know, these guys are like communists. You
well,
know,
I don't know about being communists.
Salaries, they got benefits, they got no assets at risk, and they got nepotism. And if you need to know the origin of nepotism, look it up. It comes from the cozy deals that went down in the early era of the communist regime in Russia. Anyway, it's time to sue these guys. Take them to court. Get legal. Protests are fine to get awareness up, but you got to get them in court and put the fear of the law on them.
But that's expensive.
Well, of course it's expensive and it takes time, but aren't there some lawyers around willing to step up for pro bono?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but you raised some interesting points. And I don't particularly care about the historical reference you made. I think the significant thing here, regardless of whether it's capitalism or communism or whatever, is the bureaucratic inertia and the bureaucratic power that is exerted here. We have a particularly odd kind of city government, originally developed in Galveston, Texas, and it has some good advantages, but it is essentially a system that is inherently unresponsive to logic and rationality in many cases, and that's what we're looking at. But it is responsive to anger and logic from the public. And my hope on doing this on KBOO, and a small audience, you know, my hope is that people will talk to people, that there will be, and it has to be happening quickly, there will be enough anger, enough concern that the city council will hear that concern and maybe back off of this plan. I'm not super hopeful, but I really think this is important. I was scheduled to do something else today, but when I realized what was up and how quickly it was being pushed through city council and how little permission to testify and to discuss the issues and to look at the larger questions involved and how the mayor has been ramming this thing through, I decided, hey, let's do this show. We'll do this show quickly. We'll do it now because the time is running out. So if you're concerned about the quality of the water in Portland, if you're concerned about the costs of water in Portland, surely you've noticed your water sewer rates going up. If you are really interested in pure water, in good government, this is something you, all of you out there, should be concerned about and should be responding to, not just with phone calls to city council members, but maybe with some direct action. Anyway, I want to hear from some more people out there. 231-8187. Bart, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I thanks for doing this again and bringing this to the fore, because this is really a dumb idea. It doesn't make sense for anybody except bureaucrats and their owners.
Their contractors and their consultants.
Yeah.
But the contractors and the consultants have been on the dole here for, almost 20 years over this particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about unstable ground. The reason that that ground is unstable is the reason that the geology we have here is what it is. Most of the West Hills are formed from massive amounts of topsoil and rock flowing through the Columbia Gorge and the ancient Missoula floods. There's no bedrock through most of that area. You know, there is some stuff underneath, but it's not the surface. And the reason that the reservoirs are stable now is because of the pioneering work of the people that built the park. They dug deep tunnels in and provided drainage in the hillside so that the hillside would be stable. The fact that the system as it exists now uses no electricity means, hey, people, it's sustainable. It is a very low or no carbon footprint for all of this infrastructure. We're going to have an earthquake. I don't know really how well Bull Run will survive, but anything new that they put in isn't likely to be able to sustain itself through that. You got a lot of miles of travel from there to here. The costs we have now with water are extremely high. You mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just more on top. And why are they going to rebuild a replica of the reservoir on top if they really wanted the replica to be on top? Why don't you leave the one you already have?
Well,
and one more point, buried in the closed systems that exist have extremely high problems with bacterial and other kinds of contamination because of the absence of sunlight.
A good point. I'm glad you made that point. Sun is a purifier.
Right. And staying there. Thanks. I'll hear my answers off the air.
All right. I appreciate your comment. I want to, if you're just tuning in, this is KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Our guests are Jeff Boley from the West Side and Floyd Jones, who's from the East Side, both of whom are involved in trying to preserve the existing, excellent, amazing, perhaps unique, natural water supply coming out of Bull Run and being stored in what it were open reservoirs. By the way, I want to emphasize this. The big, expensive, huge tank that they put on Powell Butte is leaking in many, many places, and they're going to have to put God knows what chemicals into that to stabilize it. What is really happening is the system is being degraded. It's being degraded because of influence of various experts, I put quotes around that, and because of various corporations who will benefit by that. It's because of the advantages to various individuals, and because of Randy Leonard's big push, used to be on the council, isn't now. And the council is unresponsive, unwilling to listen to reason, and in general, unable to think this whole thing through. It's really up to you, all of you out there, whether or not this bad design goes through. And I don't hesitate to say it's a bad design, because it is. And I'm really angry and upset and can't believe the stupidity of all this. I want to hear from you. If you disagree with me, that's cool too. So give us a call, 231-8187. Tim?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, first off, Floyd, I just want to really thank you for your lifetime of dedication to pure water here in Portland. And just maybe shout out to KBOO that maybe you deserve a show, given how much community involvement you've really proven over the years. And your voice is needed on a weekly basis.
Thank you.
And... And also, I just wanted to say that Individuals for Peace and Justice and, you know, Clean Water will be demonstrating against the Commander-in-Chief, Obama, who's coming to town on Thursday evening at the Benson Hotel. He's the one who selects the EPA and all these other people who keep these regulations rolling, allowing, you know, this corruption to go on at the local level. But we need, you know, we need change throughout the system, and you know, demonstrating on Thursday for water, for peace, for, you know, for everything that we need. We need people out on the streets angry.
When is that demo?
It's Thursday evening. He's having a private fundraiser at what used to be the Benson on 10th and Alder, wherever it is. You'll have to find it.
No, well,
no,
the Benson
is down on Broadway.
It's down on Broadway.
It's, what's the name of it? It is the Sentinel Hotel.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And it's in the evening. No times. It's all been secret. But, you know, it's downtown and it's in the evening. So there you go.
Okay, well, thank you for the notice of that. But it's only a beginning. I mean, I really think the focus needs to be on local politicians rather than on Obama. But that's my judgment. And I thank you for the call. Okay, look, folks, if you're just tuning in, of course, this is KBOO. We're talking with Jeff Boley from the West Side and Floyd Jones from the East Side, both of whom are trying to preserve our excellent natural flowing Bull Run water supply from plans to bury it and to confuse it and to conflate it and to spend a fortune putting in what are really probably absolutely, well, not probably, absolutely unnecessary underground water storage systems, which, and I want to be clear about this, the greatest purifier within the context of the world is the sun. And we're going to block the water off from being in the sun. And all this paranoia is essentially designed to make people wealthy, to make corporations that dig the hole, corporations that build the underground water storage units, people who are experts, and I put quotes around this, who analyze all of this. They're all eating well. They're all doing well. And you, every one of you, are paying for that through your taxes, and you're paying for it, we believe, unnecessarily. I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Zach, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for doing the show about the issue of water and the price and the quality and everything. That's basically something that everybody seems to turn a blind eye to when it comes to our local politicians, and everyone seems to be worried about other things, such as bikes on the roadways and all that. I wanted to ask a question if any of your if any of the callers or any of the participants on your program has heard of the West Coast Infrastructure Exchange.
Say that again?
Yes, we are familiar with that, and you know who's behind that as well. It's Joe Glicker's current corporation, CH2M Hill.
Ah, yeah. CH2M Hill, we know them.
Yes, so, yes, this is a scheme that, you know, the governor, our former governor, was involved in, CH2M Hill, and it's a way to privatize a lot of our public infrastructure.
Really?
It is. It's a big deal. It's been kept very, very quiet as well.
Well, what is that about? I'm out of it.
Well, they're looking for new ways of financing big infrastructure projects, so they use this public-private partnership. But what happens, you know, just as happened on the Tualatin Valley treatment plant, filtration plant, is then corporations operate these facilities, and you can't access public information. It's privatization. That's the bottom line. And yeah, CHM Hill did the whole big strategy for them, wrote a big paper on how they could accomplish this, and the problems they're going to run into if it becomes public knowledge.
Well, this is interesting because I've for a long time felt that we are seeing a transition in our society from a really open and public process system and a publicly operated system of whatever to privatization. And the idea, the justification is, well, it'll save money because it'll be profitable for them, and then we won't have to pay taxes for it. But the reality is, every time this happens, the costs go up for ordinary people, and we end up footing the bill for what essentially is profit to private corporations.
Mm-hmm. And it's done so very true. Incrementally, you know, so that, you know, one, they get one step in, and then the next, and then the next. I mean, we really are going to, you know, lose control of our water system, and we're going to lose control of the quality of our water system. You know, these burying these reservoirs, not only does it not accomplish anything in terms of public health, absolutely no public health benefit, but it does create new and unique public health risks. I mean, we have a secondary water source that has radon. I mean, the Columbia South Shore well field, very high radon area. Well, right now, that all vents through the open reservoirs. But during those times, during the summer, when, you know, if water is low, or in the winter, if there's very high turbidity, I mean, these aren't frequent events, but it's going to come through your water, and then every time you turn on your water, showers, cleaning, you know, washing dishes, you're going to have that floating through the air of your house, and you can't vent it the way you can if it's coming up through your through the ground. There are systems available for venting that. And then, you know, nitrification. This is a cancer causing problem that occurs in the absence of sunlight. Well, we have sunlight on our water now in the open reservoirs.
So what you're really saying is that for health reasons, this is a very bad plan.
It is.
Yes.
It is a bad plan. We have a system now that's, you know, perfect water. You know, it was low cost until they started building all these projects. And now we're going to create new and unique public health risks.
Well, you know, I want to go to the other the other aspect of this. You know, whenever I see something like this, I won't ask it in Latin. I'll just say, who benefits?
Right.
What's the deal here? And to me, what I'm seeing is private corporations and these so-called expert companies who come in, they're the ones who are benefiting. And, of course, these are the corporations that give money to people to run for city council.
And the Bureau.
And the bureaucrats.
And City Hall, because the Bureau now is 40, there are 40% more Water Bureau employees.
Wait a minute, 40% more?
40% more than they were when we first started fighting this in 2001. So Randy Leonard made this Bureau bigger.
Uh-huh.
He brought over people from Bureau of Development Services when they were all laid off. That's who they have listed on this Washington Park demolition as the applicant is a Water Bureau employee who was brought over to work on the Rose Festival building remodel, Dodge Park, campground creation, all these projects that have nothing to do with water.
Then
in addition to that, every time they raise your rates, well, the city takes a 5% franchise fee. Well, think about that. Just in the last 7 or 8 years, our water bills have skyrocketed, so they're taking more money than for the general fund. So there's a disincentive to keep water rates low.
Wow. I mean, it all seems like one of these stories that you read about the turn of the century in the East Coast, where you had political corruption. I mean, I'm not saying that anybody's getting any money kicking back, but, you know, it sure smells bad. The idea of burying the water supply, the idea of creating a situation where radon and other dangerous gases can seep into the system, and there's no way to vent it out in the normal course of things, where there's no sunlight to clean the water, it all doesn't make sense to me, and it all angers me, and it's all happening not behind closed doors, but in a quiet, slippery slope of absolute bureaucratic sleaziness.
Can I speak on that for a second?
Sure, quickly? Go ahead.
I really want to call out not only to every single listener, but every family of the listeners, whether they're their parents or whether they're their kids or brothers or sisters, that it's okay to call politicians out on their BS. In fact, that's what the democratic process is. It just seems to me that here in Portland, I'm not originally from Portland. I'm originally from the East Coast myself, from New York.
Uh-huh.
It seems to me that here in Portland, there's this overarching mentality of, oh, well, this is the least of two evils, and we might as well just settle down for whatever's going to come our way, rather than call out the people who may even be part of a political party that I'm part of, or anybody else for that matter. And the end goal is just to avoid conflict. Nothing grows without conflict. You don't have growing pains. It's not called that for no reason. It hurts, but you know it's a necessary action to take. And it seems that here in the Pacific Northwest, as politically motivated as people are, it just seems that it's easier for people to put their head under the rug and just kind of shrug it off as if there's nothing to do about it. I don't want to go against my political roots, or I refuse to believe the evil that my political party is doing.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm talking mostly about Democrats because this is a blue state.
Yep.
But Republicans by no means get off the hook. And, you know,
I would call it bipartisan opportunism.
Bipartisan, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they're joining the public-private partnerships that the West Coast Infrastructure Exchange is setting up around our natural resources and around infrastructure utilities. It should be cause of great concern.
Okay.
Because it's going to close around. This isn't some conspiracy or anything like that, but it's going to close around our ability to find out what is happening, what's going to happen, and what has happened to a good that we're supposed to access, and like it's been said, the ability to know what's gone into it, the efforts to keep people medically safe and sound, and it's gonna be more so involved on creating traction for profit rather than anything as a service or a good.
Yeah, I want to thank you. I want to get some words in. We're running out of time, but I appreciate your comments. I want to, Jeff and Floyd, my understanding is the city council is making this decision on the 13th. Is that right?
That's right. So it's called a demolition review. And, you know, part of the code on that says that this review period ensures that there's an opportunity for the community to fully consider alternatives to demolition. Has never happened. So city council is going to decide. The Water Bureau is now rebutting all of the written comments that we've submitted, but no public testimony. It'll be on council agenda. you know, they could do the right thing. I'm not expecting that they will.
Well, wait a minute. What happens if 100 or 200 people show up at city council and they all say, no, no, don't do this?
Yeah, we've done that before, believe it or not, in 12 years. We've done that many, many times.
Well, maybe it's time to do it again.
Yeah, and, you know,
well, there's no downside.
They stop you at the door. You can only bring in an 8 by 12, you know, or 11 inch sign. And,
you know, people are too damn nice.
Too polite.
This is so outrageous. I think that this is the kind of thing that might call for genuine civil disobedience. I mean, it shocks me that the city council is going ahead with a stupid plan. And I've read all the stuff. I've looked at it. I'm not an idiot about this. You know, I got a PhD. I know what the hell's going on. And I'm a little bit, really a little bit, it's more than a little bit, outraged, incensed at this whole process. So on the 13th, that's Wednesday, that's the morning hearing, right?
I think it's going to be on consent agenda in the afternoon, but I'm not.
Oh,
I'm
consent
not sure
agenda.
Yeah, that's
now,
another.
Folks, if you don't know what that is, that means they speed it through.
Right.
Yeah, and so then the only option that the community would have after that, and again, it's we're going to use your money to work against you, and then if you have money to hire an attorney and take it to the Land Use Board of Appeals. This rule is under review presently. Now, I'm not confident that EPA is going to revise it because so many communities have been harmed, but why would we proceed with this? Well, this rule is under review. When we have Senator Schumer in New York, you know, fighting against it, why aren't we joining forces with them?
Well, really, and what's the rush? The hell's the rush?
Right.
I mean, you know, is there an actual danger? No. Is there a real reason to rush? No. Is there technological issues that haven't been resolved? No. I mean, come on, folks. This is your water supply. This is one of the most amazing natural resources in the United States. This is being endangered by a city council that's doing the whole process with influence and impact by those who stand to make a fortune in building these reservoirs and in advising the city council. So that's where I'm coming from on this. And I don't know. I mean, am I being outrageous? I don't think so.
No.
It's really very disturbing. Let's go to the last. We got some more callers. Who do we got? James.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Yes. No. We should all be very outraged. I don't know if anybody's suggested this yet, but perhaps we should stage a day where we get people involved to not pay their water bills.
Oh, civil disobedience, know, like, through not paying the bill.
Yeah, because I mean they need the money to be able to do this, and it's. I mean, I get where the host, the person we're talking to is coming from. I mean, it's not just enough. I mean, we've protested, but we got to do more than protesting. I mean, they're just, I mean, us out there waving signs will get people's attention, but it won't do anything other. We need to cut off the fund supply.
Yeah, unfortunately, for the last 12 years, they've been debt financing everything. So we're more than $500 million in debt. And they like to say, we have the best debt rating in the nation. Well, yes, because you keep extracting money from ratepayers more and more. They're going to raise your water rates again in May, 7%.
Really? 7% raise?
Wow.
Again. I mean, they started the first year that Nick Fish was in my office, 17.9%, then 12%, then 12.8%, and on and on and on. Every year, these massive rate increases. And so you're going to be seeing that forever. And they're just as happy as they could be because they're taking in more money.
Wow. This is really so corrupt.
This is truly outrageous.
It's outrageous. Yeah. It's corruption, whether or not they are directly getting something out of it. Of course, they're getting the support of big money. But whether or not whether it's demonstrable or not, it is clear that this is a process that is totally a bad bargain for the people of Portland and is totally a dangerous process for destroying the water system.
It truly is. I mean, the people on the west side are really in the dark. They're going to start complaining when the 30,000 trucks.
When the trucks start.
You know,
yeah. Oh, the trucks. I forgot about the trucks. Talking about pollution. They're going to have to haul all that earth away.
400 trucks.
400 truckloads,
yeah.
400 truckloads. That's